Well, we started out last week talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't know how many of you had ever seen a miracle before, but it's just fun to watch, isn't it? Fun to watch somebody grab hold of a miracle. And, you know, I kind of wanted to continue along those lines tonight. You know, is healing and miracles for the believer or for the unbeliever? Well, tonight we're going to see it's for both. I'm going to answer my own question at the beginning of my sermon. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, and we'll look at this account in the Bible. We can learn so much from this, the story of this miracle that happened. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." Verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." There's so many things here that we're going to look at, but the first thing I want you to notice is this woman was not Jewish. She was from the land of Canaan. She was a Canaanite. And the people of Canaan had a rocky history with the Jewish people. If you look back through the Old Testament, you know, there was a lot of friction. And in many cases, they were mortal enemies fighting each other and, you know, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. But my point is this. This is not a Jewish woman. This is a woman without a covenant. So I want us to look at Mark chapter 7, which is the same story, only told from Mark's viewpoint. It says, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." Now, why was Jesus hiding out in Tyre and Sidon? He's no longer even in Israel. He's in the land of the Gentiles, in Tyre and Sidon up near Canaan. You know, why is he up there? Well, in Matthew chapter 14, John was just beheaded. There was a whole lot going on. You know, some people believe he went up there just to let things simmer down because it wasn't quite time for it all to come to a head, resulting in his crucifixion. You know, maybe he went there because he needed a rest. I don't know, but he wasn't there, courting publicity. He was down, you know, he was there kind of hiding out, trying to rest and be quiet for a little while, but that didn't work. Verse 25. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and she came and fell at his feet." Verse 26. "And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." So it was the woman's opinion. Not only was what was going on with this poor woman's daughter something external, which would be bad enough, but she wanted him to cast the devil out of her daughter, so it was originating in here, whatever it was that was going on. Are y'all with me? All right. So this Canaanite woman heard Jesus was in her land, and she decided to go to him because her daughter was in trouble. Now, we don't know what all was going on with this daughter, except that Matthew says she was being grievously tormented by a devil. And Mark said the girl had an unclean spirit that the woman wanted Jesus to cast out. Now, listen, you don't get possessed by a devil just walking down the street. So there was stuff going on in this Canaanite woman's household that ought not have been going on. And because of that, her daughter was demon oppressed at the very least, possessed possibly, and was being tormented by this evil spirit. Well, being a young girl, it tells me that probably the mother was allowing things to go on in that house that shouldn't have been going on. Are you with me? Because if a young girl has yielded herself to a demon, I would say it's because of something that had been going on in her home, right? Because you don't walk across the playground and get possessed by a devil. No, some bad stuff was going on in her house. Now, we said this woman wasn't Jewish and she didn't have a covenant. The Jews did have a covenant with God, what we refer to as the Old Covenant. And that covenant provided healing and deliverance for the Jewish people. But she wasn't Jewish and she had no covenant that provided healing and deliverance. But I want you to notice in Matthew's account how she addressed Jesus when she came. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She called him, O Lord, thou son of David. Now that's covenant talk. That's something a Jew would say to him. Because really, who is David to a non-Jewish person? To a Canaanite. He's nothing but a thorn in their flesh, you understand? And to call Jesus, even refer to him as the son of David, would have meant nothing to her. What is my point? She must have heard that other people were saying things like that. And she was approaching Jesus based upon a covenant that wasn't hers. A covenant that she had no right to access. Are you with me? Now, nowhere in here does it indicate that she was wanting to become a Jewish proselyte and convert to Judaism or even become a follower of Jesus. No, unfortunately, she wanted the blessing without having to submit to the blessor. Unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people in that same boat this day. They want the blessing of God. They want him when their kids are sick. They want him when their marriage is in trouble. They want him when the crises of life come. But they only want to get just so close because they don't really want it to change their life. Oh, come on now. They want the benefit without having to make him Lord, without having to change, without having to humble their heart and submit themselves under the mighty hand of God. There's a whole lot of people in that same boat to this day. But listen, I am so grateful. It was not okay with Jesus just to bless her and leave her as she was. Why? Because she'd go right back to her sin and be in a worse mess tomorrow. The Bible says if you cast a demon out of somebody and they don't turn to God, they come back with seven more evil than themselves. Jesus wasn't just looking to give this woman some temporary relief. He was looking to change her life. And listen, in ministering the power of God to other people, yes, we want to bless everybody. Yes, we want to bring as much of the power of God into the life of a sinner as we can get, but not for the purpose of letting them just continue in their sin. If we don't take them on and at least tell them about salvation when we minister healing to them, then we've done them a great disservice because even worse will befall them. John, it's not in my notes. Sorry, guys. I'm sitting over there and the Lord's adding to my sermon. I'm like, this is not a good time. Mm-mm. John chapter, I can't read it. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Chapter 5. The man who was at the pool. All right, John 5, 2. Sorry, guys. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Don't you just love the multifaceted ways God has to bless people? What? Who came up with that? What kind of a crazy little deal is that? Okay, you know, there's so many people that need help. Maybe every now and then we'll just send an angel down just to bless people. Man, what a good deal if you were the first one in. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered him, saying, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. O good grief. He'd been laying there for years. Got a miracle. And they're worried about him taking up his bedding and going home. Good night. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, Which man is it that said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? They were going to yell at Jesus for that. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. How many of you know that's a prime example right there of him saying, I'm not just going to heal you and leave you in your sin because something worse will come. The woman with the issue of blood when she was here, or the woman caught in adultery, you know, he said unto her, Go and sin no more. He spared her life, but he also told her, Go and sin no more. You know, I get so tired of people saying, Christians are just haters. Jesus loved everybody just the way they were. Yeah, and he loved them too much to leave them that way. He didn't say to the woman with the issue of blood, or the woman caught in adultery, hey, I'm cool. You're cool. I love you anyway. Just go on and know you're loved. No, he said, I'm not condemning you either, but you got to stop. You got to change. There's a higher way to live. There's a better thing to do with your life than this mess you're living. You know, recently my brother, we have a family text. I'm not on Facebook. They're all on Facebook, so they have to text for the technologically improficient, which is me. So we have a family text thing. And my brother said, one of his son's good friends was in a terrible car wreck, was lingering between life and death, and he asked for prayer. And so I set myself to pray, and I was asking the Lord for mercy. And it came across my heart, if I raise him up, then what? So I texted my brother, and I said, The young man in the car accident, I called him by name. I said, Is he born again? He said, I don't know. I don't think so. I said, Well, then what good is it going to do if God raises him up, but we don't tell him it was God, and we don't give him the opportunity to get born again? Then he's going to live another 20 years and then go to hell. What did we do? Do you understand what I'm saying? So my point is, yes, minister healing. Yes, let the power of God flow through you to everybody, but then show them the better way. Because if they stay in their sin, even worse is going to befall them. They're just going to go right back to the same mess they were in and need another deliverance, need another, healing down the road a little bit because they got in another wreck because they were drunk or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible didn't say go and make converts of all nations. It said go and make disciples. Disciples are followers of Christ. It doesn't do any good to momentarily relieve their suffering, but not fix the real problem. Do you understand? Well, Pastor Rhonda, it's not all that politically correct. Well, it's not politically correct because they don't understand. Jesus didn't just say, I'm cool with your sin, I'm down with it. I love you, you're good, just go on. No, you're loved. No, he wanted to show them a higher way, a better way, a way that would keep them out of that kind of situation. This woman came to Jesus, and she seemed to come not necessarily wanting to become a follower of Jesus, just wanting to parrot the words she thought would push a button or pull a lever so she could get what she wanted from Jesus. Jesus wasn't interested in her saying the right words. He was more interested in her heart. Nowhere does it indicate that she was wanting to become a proselyte and convert to Judaism or even become a follower of Jesus. But he wanted to change her life. He wanted to give her more than a one-time blessing and just leave her in her sin. He wanted to permanently help her. So she came to him in verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Those are the words that mean nothing to her. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Oh, my goodness. Honey, come here. We're going to make him Jesus. All right, I'll be the Canaanite woman. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter, she's grievously vexed with the devil. We need your help. Excuse me. What's the matter with him? He didn't answer her. How many of you know? Some of us. Who do you think you are? Preacher? You stand there, act like you don't hear me? I know you hear me. How many of you know this is real? This really happened. He answered her not a word. For some of us, that would have been enough. Hey, you think you are. Some example of love and God you are. He ignored her. But she hung in there. Because she knew if she stomped off, her daughter wouldn't be helped. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. You can go sit down. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Oh, my goodness. First, he ignored her, acted like he didn't even hear her. And now the disciples are saying, send her away. Her cries are getting on our nerves. Just send her away so she'll shut up. All that crying is getting on my nerves. Are you kidding me? She came because her daughter is in serious, real trouble. And first, Jesus ignored her. Then the disciples said, just send her away. All that crying's getting on our nerves. Good night. That'd have been enough for a whole bunch of us. My cries are bothering you? I came to you because I need help. And now my cries are bothering you? Verse 24. But he answered and said, I want you to notice he didn't just send her away. If Jesus really didn't want to heal her, he could have ended it right there by saying, I'm sorry, miss. It's not going to happen for you. Come back after I'm dead. One of my disciples will get you born again. He didn't say that. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, great. This is opportunity for offense number three. First, he ignored her. Then when she kept crying, the disciples said, send her away. Her cries are bothering us. Now, Jesus said, you're not of the right ethnicity. I can't heal you. Excuse me? Because I'm not of the same ethnicity you are, you can't heal me? Listen. It wasn't the ethnicity. It was the covenant. It was the covenant. The Jewish people had the covenant. He was saying to her, you don't have a covenant by which I can legally heal your daughter and help your daughter. It didn't have to do with the ethnicity. It had to do with the covenant. But how many of you know, I doubt she would have heard that in that moment. How many of us would have stomped off to an attorney's office and filed a discrimination suit? Can't do that to me. I have my rights. How many of us would have gone and arranged a protest? Get everybody down there walking around his house with signs. We are so rights-oriented here in this country. Sometimes we get so focused on the little battle, we forget the war. If she would have forgotten the reason she was there and allowed her feelings to get hurt, her daughter would have stayed in that condition. She would have gotten mad and gone off, and her daughter would never have been made whole. I have to admire this woman's tenacity. Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Finally, she's dropping the pretense. Finally, he's gotten down to the real woman on the inside. Do you understand? She was coming to him trying to work it. She was coming to him trying to work the system. I heard that if I say this to you, it's going to get my daughter what she needs. So I'm just polyparroting what somebody said I had to say. How many of you know there's no magic words? There's no punch this button, push this, you know, pull this lever, and boop, out comes your healing. Out comes your deliverance. That's not how it works. God is far more interested in our hearts than our insincere words. Maybe I shouldn't. She cut the fluff. That's not the word I was going to use, but close enough. She cut the bull. She cut the pretense with which she came to him. And she finally just said, okay, fine. That didn't work. But she fell down and worshiped him. From her heart, she said, Lord, help me. Just help me. Ah, mama's heart. I love that. Verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet or right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Are you kidding me? It's a debate among theologians whether he was calling her a name, being a Canaanite, of whom the Jews were not a fan, or whether he was saying it's not right to feed the pets or those hanging around before the children get their fill. How many of you know if your kids came to lunch and you gave their lunch to the dog and they went hungry, that wouldn't be right? According to Strong's, it says puppy. The little puppy basically under the table. But nonetheless, this is what? Opportunity for offense number four? I'm a dog? Because I'm not of the same ethnicity you are, now you can't help me and now I'm a dog? I don't think Jesus was calling her names. I think he was saying, lady, we still got the problem of the covenant. You're not a child of the kingdom. I don't have the legal right to help you because healing and deliverance, it's the children's bread. It's the children's bread. Now, we could stop right here. I don't know whether to stop or go on. The children's bread. What she came for, what she was asking, deliverance, healing, being set free from what torments you. It is the children's bread. Glory to God. It is your bread. It is my bread. We look back several weeks ago at the fact that we've been adopted into the family of God with all the rights of sonship. You are now just as much a son of God if you're born again, just as much a son of God as Jesus himself was. Jesus prayed in his priestly prayer that, Father, you love them just the same as you love me. God doesn't love you one iota less than he loved Jesus. You are his very own child. And healing and deliverance and being set free from that which torments you is your bread. It's your bread. It's your bread. Bread is a staple of life. Something to be glad you weren't any closer. It is. In every culture that I've been to in the world that I've been in, ministered in, maybe 35 nations now, maybe more. I don't know how many nations we're at. But I've been in a whole bunch of them. Bread is a staple everywhere you go. Bread in one form or another. Maybe it's, you know, tortillas or flatbread or, pitas or, you know, whatever form that bread takes, bread is in almost every culture. What is that? It's something that applies to everybody. It's a staple of everyone. Yo, woo! He has given us the staple of healing, of deliverance. Glory to God. It's our bread. It's our bread. It's our bread. But he said to her, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. You know, she really had to humble herself to get for her daughter what she needed. I think in some ways Jesus was saying, how serious are you? Are you just here seeing what you can get with a few cheap words that mean nothing? Or how serious are you? Girlfriend hung in there. I am not leaving. And I don't call me anything you want. I am not leaving with my daughter in the condition in which she is. Glory to God. An unclean spirit, they said. Oftentimes in the scripture, that's perversion. There was some stuff going on in that house that ought not be going on. And because of that, there was a spirit that had gotten a hold of that child and was tormenting that child. And that mama said, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I am not leaving. You're the only one who can help me. Verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, I don't have any right. I'm not a child of the kingdom. I am just like a little dog hanging around the table. Yet, Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Oh, my goodness. She's saying, Jesus, I know I don't qualify. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Israelites. I'm really not. But surely there's just a crumb. All I need from you is just a crumb. All I need from you is a crumb of healing, a crumb of your power, a crumb of your mercy. I don't even need the loaf. I just need a crumb. Jesus, even the little puppies get the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What a magnificent answer. Her heart is amazing. I tell them in Love Walk class, sometimes you can have your rights or you can get your answer. She could have demanded her rights and walked away without getting what she came for. But she wasn't willing to do that. Such is the love of a parent for a child in trouble. I know, anyway, situation was going on, not with our daughter, but something was happening that was very distressing to me, and I just threw myself down at the feet of my Father, and I said, Lord, if I've done anything, I repent. I don't know that I've done anything, but if I opened the door for something, I'm asking you to forgive me, and now I'm just asking you for mercy. Because you're a merciful God. He's a merciful God. She said, I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb of your mercy. I just need a crumb of your love. I just need a crumb of your power. In light of such great faith, the kind of faith Jesus was looking for in Israel and not finding, he granted her request. Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, the emotion, you can hear the affection in the way he said it. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She got what she came for. She got what she came for. She got what she came for because she wouldn't be denied, because she wouldn't stop, because she wouldn't stop making her case, because she didn't let offense get in, because she wasn't willing to let her pride stop her from getting what she needed for her child. And she got what she came for. She got her miracle. That demon left that child from that hour. Glory to God. And in the process, she got a revelation of who Jesus was that I believe forever changed her life. As long as she was coming to him under pretense, trying to pull levers and push buttons and work a system to get what she needed, she went without. God God isn't so much interested in just blessing people so that they can return to their sinful lives and be a little less tormented for a few months until they open the door again. He'll bless anybody. He'll heal them on credit. But then we've got to take it one step further and tell them they don't have to live this way. Pastor did a evangelistic crusade in the nation of the Philippines when Destiny was just a baby. She's 18 now, so it had to be a good 17 years ago. Had all kinds of, you know, signs, wonders, and people getting instantaneous healings. He ministered healing before he gave the altar call. Because healing can be the dinner bell to the gospel. But you still gotta then give them the dinner of the gospel. The healing says, ding, you know, ding, 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 ding. You know, come, dinner's ready. Look what God will do for you. Look, he is alive. It's a sign and a wonder meant to draw them into the kingdom. But then we have to close the deal and feed them the gospel. He talked about healing. Then he prayed for the sick. There was a mean-looking biker dude there. Had on a tank top. Just looked rough. You would not want to meet him under other circumstances. He was tatted up. Just looked mean as a snake. He was also scarred up. You know, anyway. He got his shoulder healed, right? What was healed? He had a scar on his eye, and he was blind in one eye. All right, he got healed. And, God healed him on credit. He wasn't even born again yet. Then pastor gave an altar call, and the man came forward after he got healed. Because he'd seen the power. How many of you know it wouldn't have done any good for pastor to dismiss without giving that altar call? Okay, he can see now till he gets the other one stabbed out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I guess that'd have been good. But there's a better way. But there's a better way. God will heal the unbeliever on credit. He'll work a miracle for an unbeliever on credit. But then you got to tell him. You got to tell them. The very same Jesus who did this for you today wants to change your life forever. Listen, if you don't receive him, you're going to die. And you're going to have to pay for your own sins in hell someday. But God doesn't want you to do that. So he sent his only son who paid for all of your sins on the cross. He died so that you wouldn't have to pay. Then he rose from the dead. He's alive. And he's got a wonderful life for you and an eternity in heaven as opposed to a miserable life and an eternity in hell. Listen, if God had wanted a sinner punished, all he had to do was leave us alone. But he didn't. He came. Because he loves you and he wants to change your life forever. That night in that meeting, that biker dude not only walked out of there seeing naturally, he walked out of there seeing spiritually. Born again by the power of God. His life forever changed. Signs, wonders, and miracles are available even to unbelievers. But then we have to tell them that there's a better way. Matthew 15:26. But Jesus answered and said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." I tell you, deliverance, healing, and freedom are our bread. Glory to God. Woo! Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, I think maybe he could be talking about natural provision, but he could be talking about spiritual bread too. Glory to God. Matter of fact, Psalms 133 says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Glory to God. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits back there in Psalms 133. Do we need to look at it? Let's look at it. The guys upstairs are freaking out. Behold, how good and how pleasant. No, it's the wrong one. Psalms 103. Thank you. I heard it. I heard it come from the audience. Psalms 103. It's what happens when you do things off the cuff. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many of you know when you get a job, the benefits are included in the package? It's all just a package deal. Glory to God. Woo! You get a salary and these extra benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all of your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Glory to God. He's got a boatload of good things. He's just waiting to give them to us every day. Every day. Bible says he loads us up every day with benefits. Who daily loadeth us with benefits? You ought to take your truck every day and back it up to the loading dock of God. Boop, 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 boop. Get your load of healing. Get your load of deliverance. Get your load of forgiveness every single day. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily, daily deliverance, healing, and freedom are ours. Verse 4, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can't just live on natural bread. We need to live on spiritual bread too, spiritual sustenance. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is bread or sustenance to our soul. So we need to eat a great big fresh slice of 1 Peter 2:24. How many of you like fresh bread out of the oven? Woo! Anybody ever had it? Because I know people don't make bread that much anymore. My grandma made it when I was a little girl, but when we were in Samoa, they brought us one morning a loaf of hot, fresh bread and a pound of butter. Glory to God. It's just glorious. Slice into that sucker, slather that butter, melts all down into that fresh hot bread. Glory to God. Every day the Lord's got a fresh hot loaf of healing for you, of deliverance for you. Glory to God. Of freedom! Every day. Every day. It's every bit as much sustenance to your soul as natural bread is to your body. I tell you, we need to eat a great big slice of 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that I shall not want. Because he's a good shepherd. Listen, I'm all over the world tonight. I don't know. If we were an agricultural society and we heard that this master shepherd was coming through with his prized flock of sheep, and we gathered in the street to watch them walk by, this great shepherd and his little group of sheep, and all the sheep were, you know, their little fur was matted, and they were all dirty, and they looked like they had bones that weren't set, and they were so scrawny that their little ribs stuck out of their little sheep fur. How many of you would look at that and think, that is a great shepherd? No, you wouldn't think that. If we went out to see a good shepherd, those would be fat, fluffy sheep. I heard somebody say that about their weight. I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. But a good shepherd would have healthy, fat, fluffy, clean, well cared for sheep. Well, he's our good shepherd. He doesn't want his sheep all sickly and beat down, not cared for, unhappy sheep. I want you to notice how confident he was when he penned this. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. Because he's a good shepherd. Glory to God. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't that funny? Sometimes the Lord has to make us. You sit down here in this good place for you and eat. Eat. It's good for you. The pastures are green. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When you go through the shadow, when things look bad, we can fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. He prepares a table before us. How many of you were here a few months back when I did my sermon and I brought in a table full of good stuff? I had, you know, bowls of food all laid out there. And then I had one of our praise and worship team members who's much bigger than I am. He was playing the devil and he was screaming at me, playing the devil, you know, I'm going to kill you. You're not going to make it. And right in the middle of that, I had to sit down and quiet myself to partake of the things that God had laid out for me. It's an example of how life is. And it's got to be talking about this life, because how many of you know we don't got those enemies in heaven? He can't prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies in heaven, because they're not there. He's talking about right down here in this miserable pit in which we live. He prepares a table before us. And with the enemy screaming in your ear, you can sit down and partake. Father, right here in the middle of this, I want a fresh baked slice of my daily bread. I thank you. It includes deliverance from this nonsense going on around me. Deliverance from this big-mouthed ogre screaming in my face. I thank you. I'm partaking of deliverance. I'm partaking of healing. And while I'm at it, pass me a big bowl of peace. I'll take some of that joy. Woo! Put the gravy of joy over them taters of peace. We used to eat gravy bread when we were kids. Just slather it all over your healing and deliverance. Glory to God. While you eat it, you can just drip joy. Glory to God. Deliverance and healing. It's your daily bread because you're a child of God. It belongs to you. Devil has no right to try to keep that which is yours. And so, I'm going to set myself in agreement with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the children's bread. I thank you for healing. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for freedom from everything the devil uses to try to bind. I believe in Jesus' name that this very night your children can come and partake of the bread that you've provided this day. For freedom, deliverance, and healing. And I thank you for it. If I could have Dapo and the musicians come, I don't have any idea what to tell you to play. Just play something that seems right in your heart. If you need a booster shot of bread, healing, deliverance, freedom from that which is causing you torment tonight, I want to add my faith. I want to pray with you. We're going to get some bread. We're going to get some of that fresh baked Samoan bread with the good butter. Amen. If you want hands laid on you, you want me to agree with you for freedom from that which torments, for deliverance out of the hand of the enemy and healing for your body, then I want you to come. You can come now.